items, just a quick update of our association superintendent meeting that we had yesterday, and honestly, there wasn't a lot to discuss. Just be aware that Neil Peacock and Kurt Collard are going to be co-presidents of the association.
Okay.
With Jana K. McGann?
Yeah.
I never remember how to say her last name.
Yeah, that's it. That's how
you say it. Used to be a wall. And Jana K. is their secretary.
We need a chair.
Come on up, student representative.
Oh, thank you. You're kind.
Welcome.
We did.
Go on.
Okay. The association kind of getting their feet under them. We talked about that they need to get together and kind of decide about negotiations. It's really difficult to have negotiations when the teachers all leave. So, I think they're going to kind of work on that and get some ideas. And the only other thing that was really mentioned was they did want to express that the general feeling that they had from the association meeting was that PLCs are, contrary to maybe what we have heard, that PLCs are being fairly well accepted, and most people are in favor of them. Generally, the issues are not with the PLCs, but with possible scheduling and kind of more the how to get it done than it is about what it is exactly. So they just wanted to let us know that that was their feeling. Any questions or anything about any of those?
What did you say, Jenna came
up? She's the secretary for the for the EU. McGann, M-A-G-A-N.
Thank you.
Oh, and I didn't mention Vice President Courtney Justice. Missed all of my notes. Read all of the words, right? Alright. Our next item is to discuss the staff hiring policy. And I know all of you received emails with several different proposal versions. For those that I didn't tell, the very colorful rainbow page is my attempt at trying to put all of those in one page just so that they can be looked at it all at once. For me, it was easier to look at them next to each other than it was to try to look through all different pages. So some of it is redundant because some of the proposals and some of the thoughts were very similar. I guess just go there. What are our thoughts? Looks like paragraphs 1, 2, and 3 are great.
Mm-hmm. And I think 4 is well done, so I think the media outlet would be well included.
Yeah, and I remember right now.
Could we get a copy of that?
Oh, yeah. The colored version?
Thank you.
Yeah, I believe that fourth paragraph was actually, it was in the main part, the thing green was from a different, it was in the policy, it was just a different place, mm-hmm. and it just kind of got moved up there, and the media outlets was an addition. Paragraph by paragraph, we're good with 4. Okay, the next one. And the next paragraph, and probably the three or so below it that are in kind of a pink red color, kind of all go together. They were just copy and paste it in.
So is this what you're suggesting?
No. All this is simply, and if you read it, it'll probably sound really ridiculous because all it is I copied and pasted all of the different things that were sent out to each of us
mm-hmm.
and just pasted in all of the different things.
Okay.
So sometimes two things within the same paragraph will be in contrast with each other. like I said, for me, it was easier to read them all together. If it doesn't make sense to you, that's great. You can look at the ones that were sent to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in that paragraph, our consideration is probably mainly
they strongly suggest this, that we don't restrict ourselves or limit ourselves in limiting, you know, getting a good pool of candidates, whether it be internally, externally. So, I mean, that what they're saying was is, I mean, policies in and of itself shouldn't, they should be like a guideline, not the criteria.
No.
So let's not put in, they have to have da-da-da-da-da, because then we have to follow through with it, because the way the current policy reads, there's some issues that could, I'm surprised haven't happened already, in all honesty. Because then we have to act upon exactly the way the policy is written.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we leave it, you know, like I said, broad enough, we have a little more leeway in doing things. So the policy that I had sent out, that was kind of my intent on that. Like, you know, I mean, I removed all of that. That was my intent. And that was, like I said, coming from risk management.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're restricting ourselves in receiving, you know, quality candidates, whether they be in our area or out of our area. We don't need to define that.
Mm-hmm. I feel that as far as our current policy and where we're giving preference to in-district employees, how it's stated there. I feel that the reasoning behind that is to encourage our current employees to go and get further credentials and to continue their education and to go get their administrative credentials.
But that goes back to saying, well, we're only going to hire you instead. Well, okay, let's take this. I mean, I hate to even use scenarios, but I just keep thinking, you know, maybe there's a Diane Carter of the world out there. And if we limit it to somebody within the district, how are we not going to recruit her? The in-district person might be fine, but Diane is extraordinary.
But I think the way the policy is written, it says all other things being equal, all criteria being equal, she would be above and preference would be given to in-district.
But if you look at the criteria, and she has the same education as this person, looking at equal, then this person gets it, and not this, you know, not the outside. So that's exactly what risk management. And I can give you the number and everything to talk.
The proposal that I sent out, well, I sent it to Jesse, and she sent it out, eliminates that because it does. Say all things being equal, all candidates get an interview, and so it would be the the outcome of the interview itself that would determine that. The only way that we wouldn't do that is if we had an extraordinary number of applicants that we had to reduce down to a manageable number, in which case those who are going through what I call the vetting team would make the reference calls. They would look at the fine details as outlined in the resume.
One of the issues risk management had with that, because I gave them a copy of everybody's policies that they, and she looked it all over. So it's not like I just gave her mine or the current one or yours. I gave her everybody to look
okay.
at and
what,
give
what
you know,
did
information
say?
On. And one of the things is you're running into issues with having that vetting team be the one calling on the references and that. That kind of puts us in kind of a little bit of a predicament because there's privacy issues as well there. That really needs to be in the second, in the policy that I submitted, it kind of really needs to be part of the second interview phase.
Yeah.
That.
It could take place in the second part. But
you kind of run into some issues there with privacy, you know.
But how do you check references if you can't give them a call and talk to them?
Mm-hmm.
What? How would we even do that?
So okay, so
why even less references?
I'm confused on the possible privacy. So if I'm submitting a
an application, and I'm sending in references.
Right. I've given permission for you to contact my references.
Right.
So where, right. Where's, yeah, where's
so,
the concern?
So the way, I mean, it was kind of explained to me, and this is why she kind of went over things the way, you know, she's the one that suggested more or less what I sent out, which obviously needs to be tweaked. But that was her whole point with that was, if you have a committee, a hiring committee, and you need to have a diverse committee, then that first group kind of goes through and decides who they're going to interview, who they're not. From that point, then they go through an interview and make sure, you know, they kind of narrow down the field at that point. And then they refer it on to, like, the department head and the super, or, you know, kind of whoever it falls underneath. And then at that point, that's when they make the phone calls for the references and, you know, whatnot, and go from there. Because at that point, they're interviewing, like, you'd be interviewing three or four people, maybe, or maybe two, or whatever the case might be.
We, you know, when we hired superintendents, I remember we had, I don't remember how many applicants.
18.
It was a lot. Mm-hmm. And we started the vetting process immediately by calling references, because through that, we found a lot of people that disqualified themselves, I mean, before we even started. And so, like, one guy had already taken a job in Texas, and another guy pulled out because he was going somewhere else. And, and so it was really valuable to do it early on, so we didn't waste a whole lot of time saying, hey, this guy looks great. And there was a couple that looked fantastic, and we thought, we want to interview these people, but they had already removed themselves.
So again, where's
so
the
privacy?
She was
just worried that there would be people say things that can kind of get them in trouble in situations like that. So if you're not properly trained, that's why she was wanting that to kind of go to a secondary level. It's
like
just
the,
like in an interview.
Like the
vetting team
with her?
The team or the interviewee?
Yeah. Which?
No, to... What, no, tell
so
me
the vetting team would ask an appropriate question?
Yeah. There's kind of a liability issue there.
Well, the vetting team... The vetting team consists of, at least in my proposal, the superintendent, and then it would be the supervisor over the area person being hired, and then one other person. They would all be qualified simply because of their positions.
So
you couldn't go any higher as far as qualifications.
Well, okay, so her theory on this is you have a big group of people that agree to be on this hiring committee, you know, hiring team. So let's say we're hiring for a teacher, for instance. So, I mean, you're going to have, let's say, 20 people on this team, but you're only going to pick three that maybe like you're going to have maybe a senior teacher. And then you're going to have, you know, maybe somebody from, like, the administrative team. And then maybe you have, you know, somebody else that's a part of that first interview process. Once they lead it down to a few people, then that's when they refer it to, like, Larry and maybe the principal. And then from there, Larry and the principal would go through and finish out that process.
It sounds like a process for a large school district.
It does.
You know, you're talking about 20 people initially.
I don't think we would ever have that many people.
Well, then
process.
They have 10. You know, but somebody from each department
that
kind of falls in.
Still seems
but you envision all 10.
Exactly.
It would just say, okay, we're hiring for a teacher.
We're envisioning
these three people qualified
to be small and ruling out the ones that.
But you never have
qualified.
More than three people in that vetting team. Even though you have 10 people maybe trained for it, only at one time would you ever have three people on the vetting team. No more than three.
Yeah.
Right.
Why would we need more?
But that's what Larry
put in
his. Yeah. I feel
but
like
Larry
that's what
saying
that is.
Him and other people, where she's saying other people first and then move on to the higher up.
Because
that'll give you a little bit broader scope, a little more perspective.
Yeah, I definitely disagree with that. Because the other people who might be involved in that process won't have nearly the training that superintendent, any superintendent,
so,
not just you, but any superintendent, and the...
But if they're having two interviews.
Right, but, well, see, I disagree with the way this is set up anyway. That second interview is listed as the superintendent, the VA, and then the department manager, and I am not comfortable with that at all.
Well, and that's not worded correctly. Well, I mean, that definitely needs to be tweaked, but I'm thinking, you know, depending on whether it falls under Larry's or Jared's department, you know, that would be who was involved, not both of them together. It would kind of just fall under who, like I said, it would be like Larry and a teacher, but, you know, Larry and the principal if it was a teacher.
But what we have tried to do is involve a stakeholder from the entity that are directly involved. In other words, we try to have a parent, a classified, a certified, an administrator, and possibly a board member, whatever, in that last interview that does the actual selection. This leaves those other people out. And I personally feel that it's so important to have all the stakeholders represented in that final interview, in that last decision. That's my feeling. To me, this is backwards.
Well, I guess my thinking, but now that you're saying that, is the first interview could have a stakeholder. I mean, that would be part of the vetting committee. Have a board member, have a stakeholder, have a, you know, senior teacher, have a whatever, whoever falls within that. Because, I mean, ultimately it falls down to certain people's decision. And are you going to do that for every single employee?
We can have most.
The vetting part of it? Yes, we vet all those applications. We had 25 applications for administrative secretary, which we are interviewing for tomorrow. The vetting team included three, me, Ralph, and Jared. We vetted those 25 applications independently. We worked together in the same room at the same table. We each went through those. We were checking for qualifications. Did they meet the qualifications as advertised? And for those who did, then they advanced. We came together after everyone had compiled their list of those who were qualified and recommended to be advanced, and then we narrowed that down to a manageable number to be interviewed, and it worked quite well.
Right.
We had agreed on probably four of the five, and then we had discussion and did a deeper dive into their applications and resumes and letters of reference and so forth to narrow it down to five, and it worked pretty well. I think that could work with the supervisory positions as well. We're usually in a situation where we don't have a lot of time because we get retirements late in the year, we get resignations late in the year, and we need to begin the hiring process because we're competing for employees from around the state trying to fill our positions. And if this thing drags on into the summer after all of the other districts have completed their hiring, then we don't have a very large pool to choose from. And my experience is that it will take us right up to the start of school sometimes. So sometimes speed is of the essence, that we've got to get it done. And typically we want to fill those supervisory positions, principal positions first, because many of those positions will open up teaching positions. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a trickle-down effect or a domino effect. And we really try hard to get everything done before school's out. But if we expand the vetting process and take it deeper than what we've been doing, I fear that it might prolong the selection process.
But then we're selling ourselves short by not doing that.
But I think by waiting, we're getting like the last pick. We're getting the least qualified because all the other school districts have picked the most qualified applicants.
Yeah.
So by picking last, all the other most qualified applicants are getting picked last.
Even doing that, you can do interviews back to back. I mean, you can have the first set of interviews one day, and then the next day or the day after that have set up interviews again.
I've got
multiple interviews over a period of days. I've never heard.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about time constraints,
yeah,
could be a possibility.
Any kind of business does not, you don't get multiple interviews over a period of days.
Well, additionally, that's
and I know this isn't a business, but
it is a business.
On the people coming in, how many of them are going to be able to leave their current employment and come for
multiple
interviews?
You can't have multiple
interviews. I think you're going to eliminate people because of that.
Mm-hmm. So to kind of move this along, am I getting the feeling that most of us are more in favor of a vetting team? Is that the...
I'm in favor of the vetting team.
Okay. Without initial interview, so a vetting team and then interview.
I'm not 100% sure. Are we doing something completely different now? I'm not aware of it. I thought we had vetting teams before.
Well, we did.
We do,
not formally.
I would have called it a team in the past, but we did have a vetting process. I'm in favor of a vetting team, yes.
So it sounds like we kind of want to stick with the a vetting team. I had a couple of, honestly, with all my colors, I don't remember who wrote what, but we had a couple of different wordings for that. We had three members of the district administrative team chosen by the superintendent or designee. We had a three-member team identified by the superintendent. I guess it's what do you feel that vetting team should
be? I think it should be a vetting team identified by the superintendent because different jobs would require
different
perspectives or different teams.
Yeah. So maybe not necessarily three members of the district administrative team, but
just let
the superintendent identify that team.
We're choosing the head of the
maintenance
group.
Three members of the district
administrative team,
chosen by the superintendent or designated. So I'm saying, like, take out district administration team, because that just leaves it a little bit more open for the superintendent to choose.
Three members.
I mean, in all likelihood, they're probably going to be district administrative team people.
Yeah, it could be.
But if there's a situation where that doesn't make sense, we don't need the administration team to vet the position.
Yeah, it depends on the position.
That's what I think. We leave it a little more open to the superintendent identifies that team. Just a little more. Then we get to the portion about following interviews when two or more candidates are equally qualified. We have a couple of different considerations. It would be starting with number one. So again, there's like a couple of different number ones on your paper, just because there was a couple of different options for number one. And two more applicants are equally qualified. I guess what is the option? It sounds like we've had options for before interviews, after interviews, different wording from preference given to consideration given to none at all to.
My vote's none at all. I don't want any of that.
My personal feeling, I liked the consideration. I felt like that loosened it from preference a little bit, but yet still gave, I don't want to say this, I don't know how to say it, but kind of give a bonus point. I mean, not say, hey, you work for the school district, you will be hired above everybody else no matter what, but your previous experience will be.
And I agree with that 100%. I think that our employees are loyal to us,
but
there needs to be some reciprocity there.
Right. So in my mind, and maybe this is just in my mind, the word consideration just gave it a little bit more flexibility. However, it still allowed for that.
That's what I think, too.
could.
Yes, yeah,
come
yes,
into
please.
The conversation.
Please.
In the equally qualified, does that refer to the qualifications that the applicant puts forth on his application, or does it refer to the state of, or excuse me, the statement of the job position as is?
It's following interviews when two or more candidates are equally qualified. So following interviews.
Right.
Okay.
So the vetting committee will make that determination if they have met the qualifications of what?
The advertisement.
The advertised
position.
Okay.
Yes. And that is written in there.
And that's really the difference from what we have been following, because in the past, the vetting of applications, when candidates were equally qualified based on the advertisement, that's when the local employees, all things being equal, was applied, which precluded some from outside from even getting an interview. This would allow anyone who meets those qualifications, no matter where they're from, the residency, or their current employment, they would be qualified for an interview. Now, the caveat is if we had an abundance of qualified people, we'd have to narrow that down to something we can deal with.
I totally agree that if they are qualified, the playing field is leveled, they're all qualified, yes, preference should be given to the resident of the
after
district.
Interviews, yes.
After interviews.
And that's the change that I...
And this goes, I mean, this is me being alternate again, but do we need to have that as a criteria in our policy, or can that just be...
My concern is if it's not in the policy, it will not
be
adhered to. Exactly. And I think we're going to, after getting discussions back from our association, I think that's going to be a
big issue.
Yeah.
When we've had it there before,
and it's been
taken away.
That issue, I think before we adopt anything, we really need to have our attorney and risk management look at that issue. Just because I do know that could come back. You know, the way our previous policy really could bite us.
So are you suggesting we compile all this after we discussed, and I'd be happy to do that. Table it for final approval for one more meeting, just to make sure that our legal thoughts are
dotted. Yes. That's my recommendation.
Did you say dots are dotted?
Yes, our legal dots are dotted.
That's
our legal I's are dotted. Is that a little more? Come on, Larry.
Dotted. T is dotted. Dotted, dotted.
Like, our T's are T'd and our dots are dotted. We'll be good to go, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see your opinion, because in my mind, needs to be there if we're going to follow that procedure.
But that's a procedure, not a policy. So you can have that as a procedure, but the minute you put it in policy, it has to be followed 100%.
So why wouldn't we want to follow it 100% though? I mean, that's what the board would like.
I don't want to discuss this in open meeting, but I know of a couple of employees that right now, I mean, and I think it's been a dead issue for quite a while, but there's a couple of employees that, or past employees, former employees, that that could come back.
They didn't feel that it was followed.
Right.
I think it would be good to have risk management look at it.
I think I'm looking at it. This whole process.
The procedure's
if
great.
If everybody meets the criteria,
I'm okay with,
that,
the,
it's
with the procedure.
So.
But the minute you put it as a policy, that's where it kind of gets sticky.
We'll see.
Move to the interview hiring protocol that we have, the section number
could easily put it in there.
Right, it needs to be moved there. So, do we want to for now leave it and have our management evaluate it? What do you guys want?
Could you write up what we've been discussed?
Yes, and give it.
A final draft
without all the milling the colors.
Yeah.
Final draft. We can all review it.
Right.
And then have the legal review as well for their.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be willing to do that. I can do that tomorrow and send out to you guys immediately to review. So it looks like we're working on. The vetting team identified by the superintendent. After interviews, at that point, the consideration for current employees comes into play. Consideration for residents as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's in the old policy.
Yeah, that's part of the old policy.
What about past residents that want to come back?
Got to be qualified.
It's going one step deeper.
So, yeah, deeper, right?
I could see that's where you get into it.
But it doesn't say residents, it says employees of the district.
The second preference given to residents of the district.
We want everyone to come back.
We need to quit.
We do.
Exporting
our children. My question is, do we need that second line at all? And I don't know, you guys that have done this before, has that ever been a...
Yes.
It has come into play?
It has, and part of the reason it's in there, Roy, correct me if I'm wrong, part of the reason that's in there is that we had a lot of employees at one time who lived in Carbon County. And their families went to school in Carbon County, and all the WPUs went to Carbon County.
Right. You were trying to encourage your employees
really
to
work. We
really
needed to encourage them to live in the county. So we had their students in the WPU and the advantage of that.
And they paid taxes in every county.
Right. There are a lot of advantages to having, and frankly, they have a lot more community buy-in. So there was a reason for putting that in. Do you remember?
I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I'd like to see that left in.
But could that be moved to protocol as well?
What do you mean by that?
I would recommend that we leave it as the draft policy and let the legal team tell us if it's going to work or not. And then if not, we could easily move it to protocol.
So do we want to expand it to... I understand your intent.
To former residents, you mean?
Right. You extend that to former residents or protocol, or second preference will be given to those intending to live in the district. That makes it way crazy. I understand. That's what I'm saying.
Otherwise, there's no purpose of even having it.
Right.
So
then what's the right? Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the. I understand the intent of why it's there
anyway. If you're looking at employees, you look at them and say, yes, they were raised here. They'd like to come back. The probability of them staying with the district and being a loyal employee is increased exponentially.
Right.
So you do
have that as a community,
regardless
whether it's a current resident or a returning resident. I understand where Brad's coming from as well, having people that I know that would love to come back. Hopefully they would help. Yeah.
I would like to just leave it as an unspoken policy.
You got to dot your dot on that one, Marie.
Right, dot your dot. Where should we put it? Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is that something that needs to be in policy, or is that something that should be part of our general procedure?
Inference.
different consideration.
I mean, I think it's natural that we do that.
Yes, I believe it is.
Well, I say we do that final draft and just let the legal team look at it.
Let it sit there for now and then kind of go from there.
And just get the legal input on it.
Okay.
And the possible repercussions from that. Because that's going to be our best.
Let's do that, and then we get more input if we need it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just say one more thing, if I could. In your advertisements, the phrase where you were saying that you're looking for equality across applicants and qualifications, to say in there that they get those qualifications or are working on those qualifications and to disqualify someone who has those qualifications, you're leaving yourself wide open there also.
I think to a point, but then I think to a point you're not, because if you have 50 people that meet qualifications, there's got to be a way of comparing.
But if you've got five that have all the qualifications, the certificates,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got two that are working on the certificates, they're not equal.
No, right. And I agree with that. And at that point, the vetting team should identify those and be, okay, our minimum qualifications are this, and we plan on interviewing five, therefore, these are the five that meet the highest standard of those qualifications. Does that... At least in my mind,
as long as that's what's in the policy, I would agree with that. I don't have a voice here, a vote.
Right, no, but
yeah.
You definitely have a voice.
Well, if an applicant is enrolled in an administrative program and the advertisement says that's acceptable, then they've met the qualifications.
Yeah. But if you have 10 people and five of them have it completed and five are enrolled,
right.
The five completers should be given preference.
Should be, yes.
So to me, that right there is a line of the vetting team to not move them even to the interview process. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Right.
Yeah.
Typically, you include those who are enrolled in programs because we don't normally get that many applicants.
In case you don't get enough
right.
applicants.
And we may not get anyone who has the endorsement, but we have people who are working
right.
on it. The other thing I'd point out is that in some cases the district has financed those graduate programs for administrative endorsements. So it's an investment on the part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
And that also would become a consideration, maybe again in the vetting process.
You offer that time?
We're not currently paying for anyone right now. But, you know, the time will come when we'll have to do that. But right now we're not. We have candidates out there whose programs we paid for, however,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the district at the time needed prospective administrators and wanted to build a local pool. That's how I got through my administrative endorsement program. Same with Garth and Ralph and Jed. We all went through together. Look at us now.
I paid for my own.
Oh, Ralph did pay for
it. I remember you.
Nolan Johnson was part of our team, too.
He put the kibosh to you, didn't he?
Well.
And he did it anyway. So
sour grapes.
No, he's my boss. That's one.
Well, yeah, we need to table that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I will probably tomorrow, based on our discussions, put together a more comprehensive final draft. Final draft.
I'll get it to the attorney.
Okay, yeah, and I'll send it out.
We're done with item one.
Forward it to the, what's that?
Now that we're done with item one,
I know. Let's see. We're already.
We take the item one.
I know, we're already. And I knew this was going to happen. All right, well, let's move on to item two.
Are we still in work session?
Yes, we are. And the only reason that I want to kind of continue with this for just a moment is the evaluations. The superintendent evaluation, I believe we need to get out.
Oh, I don't see any rush.
In May. We had discussed before not doing them all at the same time, doing them more when their approval process comes up to the board. Superintendent's approval process comes up in July. My thoughts being if we can get that evaluation out in May, that would allow time while our employees are still available, and I think we would have a better success rate. Generally, the problem with surveys and evaluations is getting enough people to complete it to get good, accurate information. So,
I think that contract expires not this July, but the next July.
Oh, your contract?
Yeah, it was two years approved last year.
It is, and that's true. We did just this July. Confirmed, so maybe it's not as pending as it should be. I do still think we ought to do it every year, even if it's on an off contract year. Just for.
But that takes the rush off.
Right. So maybe that takes the rush off of this year, and we can maybe postpone it a little bit into the next school year. My thought is, I would like it to be able to get a handle on it so that we know, okay, every May we're going to do superintendent, every November we're going to do this administrator, and every.
So do we need to look through these questions again then? Is that what this is?
Yeah. So the questions that I gave you are, I went through all the ones that you guys sent to me. These are the ones that were chosen. Next to them have asterisks. Those just represent how many people chose that particular question.
Okay. And how many questions do we, or statements, or whatever they are, do we want?
And that was my next question, you guys. I think we all originally chose like three from each category. Do we want our final to be five from each category? Do we want our final to be three from each category? What is your guys?
I don't think three from our
feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I
see.
So
that's 21.
Yeah. At least five.
Five from each category.
I thought we'd be five as well.
I think five would be a good number.
Okay.
And
I think 5 to 7, depending on, I mean, I think there's some areas that maybe use the 7, the others maybe even 3, kind of depending on. But an average of 5.
Some of them are redundant, right?
Yeah, there are several others.
I think 3.
Well,
this
gives us a chance to go through and see it. And
Okay. Right. So maybe let's take this next period.
Most of them have 7.
Review again.
Yeah.
Maybe review again with the idea of 5 in mind.
Okay.
And then we can discuss, and if we feel like, send them back to me again.
Send top 7 of each category, or
send top 5.
Let's
go with 5. And if we discuss it further and find that, okay, we really need an extra in this category, or okay, we have 5 questions, but 2 are the same.
Homework. A lot of
homework.
Requirements. I'm sorry.
7. Might get too long.
And that's what we're trying.
People won't answer.
Well, and that's what we're trying to get away with. The original one that was given to us had 81 questions. We are pairing as much as we can. And Connor, you're more than
35.
Well,
you won't have very many people answering.
We'd be happy to see what your thoughts are as well, Connor.
How many do you have? I mean, if you were to sit down or, normally when you look at them, what
do you think? 3 would be 21. What do you think about that?
Okay. Teacher evaluations or administrator evaluations were 9.
And we got
with comment areas.
Right.
And
what if we did narrow it down to 3 in each category? And then, but I mean, we don't have to ask the same questions every year. Right. You know what I mean for this year, three for next year?
These are the same.
surveys.
Well, right. Offset them.
Yeah.
So odd years, we ask these three, and
you're going to do it every year.
That
word. One go out on an odd year, and the other one go out on an even year.
My three in each area, and then optional comment boxes.
Yeah, do you have to comment on each one, or is that
no? There's one final comment box at the end. Just one final.
So should we still send our top five, and then we can narrow it down to two for this?
So these are our top questions.
I like that idea.
That
is a good idea.
Okay, top five,
and then
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. And I will quit bothering you. the other items on the work session, can you do longer day follow-up? Jared provided some information in the packet. We won't. Don't need to.
I have an item on that I'd like to talk about.
Sure.
It was during executive session.
Okay. So we'll follow up with that then. Looks like there's a little bit more follow up we needed there. So School board handbook is a whole nother world.
I thought of even the ones that we send out.
And honestly, there is no major hurry on that. It was just a thought, and I had collected several of Jesse had some to share. Anyway, so yeah, that is a total hold.
Yeah, we can wait.
Yeah, we can wait. We can wait. Honestly, that's not a major issue. Those were very long. Yeah. Okay. Any other concerns, questions? We're good. We're done working.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to regular session. Now that we're only 38 minutes late, everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move to work session. So we will call our regular meeting to order. And I'll have you stand for the presentation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You need to take a moment and just